sweating. I'm an addict. I'm tired. I'm tired. And I'm going to be honest. I'm tired. However, I appreciate the opportunity to come and share my experience and strength and hope and recovery. I'd like to thank all those that participated in putting this convention on, and service work that's so vital and so important. I'd like to thank the entire convention body. It's an inside job. The message is recovery is an inside job. Bear with me. Elma, can I adjust? As I said, we are beyond my bedtime. Beyond, and I do mean beyond. But it's an inside job. Now, I'm going to give you just a little bit about where I was, a little bit about where I got to, and more about where I am. Where I was, the only child, I used everything and everybody to fix me. My major problem, me, never being satisfied with anything or anyone that I had. I was always looking outside to fix me. I always put my responsibility of living on someone else. I never wanted to take responsibility for anything, not even myself. If there was a problem in my life, it was your fault. It never was mine. I knew nothing about taking ownership, nothing about accountability. Hell, I didn't even know how to pay bills until I came into recovery. I lied my way through life. I fake, I pretend, and my best friend was fantasy and illusion. So when the drug came along, it was my best friend. I started smoking coke at the age of 16, 1986, when I should have been jumping rope, playing hopscotch. I was freebasing at 16. I always wanted to be someone that I wasn't. I always wanted to be grown, but it was a lot of stuff that I had to put on the inside. So you can dress up and be grown. You can do a good dress up job and be grown, but it's the substance that goes on the inside that constitutes the characteristics of a grown woman. So I landed here. I landed here. I was dropped off to y'all by my mother that had a program. She said, you want what these people had to offer? You would do anything to get it, and she pulled off. Leaving my codependent ass with y'all. I had a lot of work to do, not knowing that I had a lot of work to do. And that's the end of the drugstore. Because the work that was in progress, the journey that I was about to, the unbeknownst journey that I was about to embark on, I had no clue. I got here. I refused to admit that I was an addict. I had ego and image, denial, arrogance. I had everything working in my favor to stay sick. I had nothing or very little working in my favor to get better. I'm talking about on the inside. The inside to me is the spiritual principles of this program and the application. So it took me 90 days to admit that I was an addict, but I was convinced that I wasn't going to go back to where I came from. Because somewhere in that moment of sanity, that moment of clarity, something I said to myself, I don't belong here. I need to get out of here. I'm better than these people. But the thing keep calling me. I don't know how to sever the ties between the relation, me and the relationship of the chemical, the lifestyle, the people, the places, the thing, the greed, the obsession, the compulsion, the fixed idea that I can get it better done this time, differently than it was the last time. I could put a little twist on it. So I came in here putting a twist, attempting to put a twist on everything that I did. The seventh step talks about how, but even though the old lifestyle that we used to live, there's no room in recovery for those games. We can no longer play those games. It's like either you're on this side of the fence or that side of the fence. It's no middle. I bought into that it was not a middle. Once I bypassed, once something stuck in that I didn't have to use anymore, once I got a glimpse, once the fog, the residue of the coke and the lifestyle in the streets had diminished for 90 days, I got a glimpse of just a little bit of freedom. And I wanted more of what this program had to offer me. But I still wanted to put a twist on it. I had a master plan. They told me that this is a simple program for complicated people, but I can do it. I'm so intellectual. I'm so smart. I can do it a little better than they said. I'm going to be the best recovering addict ever. I suffer from a defect called perfection. Competition. Very competitive. Self-righteousness. I know what I'm doing. And I know how to do it. Ignorance. Ignorance. Look, talk to me about our literature. Ignorance is bliss. There's nothing wonderful about not knowing. Not knowing that there was a new and better way for me to live. But I came in here still trying to live that old way of life because I had no healthy information to apply to this new way of life. So I struggled. You ever see a toddler trying to walk? I struggled. Trying to walk at it. Trying to just stay clean. Trying not to hang around with those things, that fixed idea that takes me back once and time and time and time again to that particular drug, to that person, place, thing, that lie, that red tag cell. Yeah. I needed something in the middle of me and the disease of addiction. I first needed to identify that I suffer. There was something, a driving force in me beyond my control. I had something bigger than my mama. I had something so powerful that I can destroy everybody's life. I suffered with the disease of addiction. So first I needed to get in touch with what I suffered with to begin to get better, to work on it inside. I needed to practice on, look, the information of the disease of addiction and how it manifests itself in my life so suddenly. When I think I got it, when I think I'm so right, I'm so left. It can make, look, create a smoke screen. And I'm so confident. The red light indicator, the cockiness. I'm so confident that this is it. This is the one. I want to bet the ponies on this one. It is it. It's going to, look, this is the thing that's going to make everything well worth living for. I'm talking about the destructive behaviors. And still unaware that they're so destructive and you don't get a glimpse of it. Look, you don't get it till it's over. The program is so beautiful and God has been so merciful with me. I don't get it till sometimes it's over. And I feel it. I feel the damage and the destruction. that I self-inflictedly created. I understand this. No one really does anything to me. God is so wonderful and has been so wonderful. He's given me something called awareness. That's the end. I want to work with spiritual principles. We're dealing with spiritual matters. I have a disease that's spiritual in nature. That can catch me when my clean time draws down anytime. My recovery demands my vigilance. I need to work hard to maintain what I got. Playtime is over. I got to own up to my responsibilities that I created. And I understand this. People don't do too much to me. God puts those people in my life as a pawn so I can see me. And I got a choice to grow. The second and seventh step give me a choice. My first initial choice was in the second step. First step, I must not use no matter what. Surrender. Admit my powerlessness. Look at my unmanageability, inward and outward. Am I still suffering from the denial in my life? Second step. Okay, I can pretend to believe in it. Pretend. Well, pretending is what got me here. I need to make a conscious effort through the evidence that's happening in my life that things are really getting better. That I don't have to keep gravitating to the old me. It's all right, vet. The restoration. When you walk up on me and say, vet, you're doing much better than you think. Just hold on. Hold on. Don't give up. You won't be all right. You got to trust. Spiritual principle of trust. How do you really trust? Or are you only trusting when it's in your favor? Trusting inconvenience. Self-centered fear. So I'm only going to do this if I get my needs met. Only. It looks like a possibility. Not trusting wholeheartedly that no matter what, period, no matter what the day brings, period, we can be all right with or without. Can I trust? And then there's the half the time I didn't understand what I was turning over. I was practicing. Relationship. Oh, I turned it over. And I found that it was easy for me to turn you over and more difficult to turn me over. It's the things inside of me that made me tick that I was reluctant to turn over. But I could turn the exterior of you and you hurt my feelings based on my feelings. Turn you over. Things didn't work up. I got fired. I'm going to turn it over. No, that's a cop-out. You just in refusal to accept your part and face responsibility for the damage that you still continue to cause because you're working on self-will. Fourth step. I'm dealing. Look, it's an inside job. The hard work, the pain, the self-inflicting pain that I had to go through to find out some things about myself. This is only a heightened awareness of who I am. It's more to me to be revealed. So I need to keep coming. The fourth step, I had to write about this girl and all the things that she did. Even the things, look, it felt like I was in a badass movie. Badass movie. And I had to tell some of those painstaking things to myself. Undeniable truth to myself. To myself. And look at me for who I really was in the pattern. It was one, same pattern. Two, same pattern. Three, same pattern. Four, same pattern. Five, same pattern. Everybody had the same, different face, same pattern. I did the same thing to everybody else. But look, I was resentful because they ain't respond to me the way I wanted them to. So I abandoned the relationship before they can get out first. Or I ended a relationship a platonic relationship for a sexual one. Gave him up and up, girl, I get on you. But him, I got work to do. Call me later. Call me later. I can't go to no meeting, man, boo. I'm trying to cash in on the promises or what I think I deserve because I never got, but I do understand I'm worthy of getting, but I've never sat still long enough to get what I truly deserve. I always sold myself out. It had nothing to do with him. Nothing. I was bringing still the same information. You can do this to me, and look, I'm giving you permission to. Hopefully you will be so kind enough to say, no, I'm not going to do that to you. Unrealistic expectation. Fifth step to freedom. God, self, and others. I got with a woman who allowed me to be me. And I wasn't confessing. The stuff I said I would take to my grave. The spiritual principle of faith, willingness, courage. Spiritual principles. Courage. It's a courageous act to sit face to face with somebody, God, self, and others, and tell them truly who you are. Uncut. Uncut. And feel everything that you need to feel. And made me a better woman. It allowed me to have some after-the-fact interpretation about myself. That no matter what I did in the past can't harm me anymore. That's in the past. However, there's some work that needs to be done so it stays in the past. How willing was I when she brought the information to my face to say, you know what, you did? It's the self-righteousness. You're fanatical. You're manipulative. You're a liar. You're a cheat.
I'm going to help you out. Help you out.
And then, out of all of the things that I found out, that I was still in refusal, semi-refusal to accept about somebody else's honesty, about what they heard about me. There was nothing made up. They weren't out to get me. How I still tried to hold them hostage so they wouldn't tell. I wasn't secure. I still didn't have all that faith. I needed to be around.
Make sure she's not telling my business. I just told. Make sure she's not telling my business.
Our job is to become entirely ready to open our hearts and mind to the deep internal change. It's an inside internal change that can only be brought about by the presence of a loving God. It was not about you and your demons. It was about the new development of me. And then, look, going into the seventh step and realizing no matter what, God got my back. When I pray, I'm being listened to. God got me. When I show up and I act out, I got a chance to redeem myself. I got a chance to do it all over again and learn from the lesson, because it's painful when you kick your own behind clean, when you get sick and tired of yourself clean, and that's internal. And it's nothing about what somebody else say and see about you when you get the awareness to see yourself. And then look, having the courage to go back to the fourth, bring forth the fourth to the eighth, and write out all that stuff that I did, had nothing to do with you, what you did, what I did. Had the willingness And then look, my night stuff was so amazing. Because tell me, God don't work. Even in spite of us, that's why it's God. Listen, my ninth, I never had a man in my life. I always grieved my father. I always looked for my father, the father responsibilities in every man that I came across. I wanted them. It's amazing for a person that never have a man in their life. When they do get a man, they're going to tell a man how to behave, but they don't know what a man is supposed to behave like anyway. I'm going to tell you how to be a father. I'm going to tell you how to be a husband. But I ain't never had a father or a husband, so with that, I'm telling you faulty information. My values and morals are still jacked. Still, more will be revealed. So, God, look, timing is essential. He was looking for me when I was looking for him. We met. And all the man wanted was somebody to talk to. And I had in my spirit that he didn't owe me nothing, the spirit of forgiveness. He didn't owe me nothing. I'm 30. At this time, I was 35 years old. And I can't go on the information that you can't miss what you never had. The blessing is having it if you get the opportunity to get it. I was too old. I was ready to step out and step into and participate in the relationship without any unrealistic expectation. Listen, I'm too old for a pony ride. I'm too old to sit on his lap. Just look, just the companionship, knowing that you have a father. Knowing that you have a father. I was willing. And I kept it real simple, like a meeting, an hour and a half. That was all I can give. Anything after that, defect fluff is extra. So I continue to look at me. I continue because I so badly want to change. I so badly want to grow up. And I do understand that, like, when I'm wrong, I can promptly, with the awareness, I can promptly, because I can display to myself love, compassion, empathy. I can express that to myself today and not beat up on myself and be so harsh and critical with myself. Like the whole world's out to get me. The same way I stroke a newcomer, I can stroke myself on most days. Some days my defects are running rapid and I have no control, so that's why I need a power greater than me. Well, God is powerful enough. That's what the 11 steps say. God is powerful enough. All we need to do is ask, God, I'm in trouble and I need you right now. I need you right now. It's power right now. I know I need you right now. I'm in trouble and I can't see my way out of it. Sponsor, I'm in trouble. Sponsor, the disease got me right where it want me based on confusion. It got me in a state of confusion. I'm capable of doing anything in a state of confusion. Because all I want to do is get out. But my desperation is not that deep anymore. I can wait. Patience. I can wait. God wants what's best for me. I understand that. His will may be my true will for myself. If I trust and believe and stop trying to guide and pilot my own vessel. I have no control. My life is no longer my business. Yeah, I may make some decisions. But who would have known if I was in control that I would end up here? Helping the still sick and suffering addict. And sometimes that sick and suffering addict can be me on any given day. I need not forget about me. Sometimes I need the 12-step call. To get me out of the thing that, look, it can invade. Look, I'm so powerless over my thinking. It can invade. Look, a good, look, just slap them. greasy with it. Just gutting, you be throwing, you think you living paycheck to pay, you be welfare, you be lost relying on my thinking. It's very important to me today that I stay in close contact. Close, I have my conscious contact, but close contact with people that can help me on a daily basis. I have an all-inclusive disease. That's why I'm in an all-inclusive program that deals with every aspect of my living, every aspect of my being, inside and out. Weight gain? Yeah, stuffing in those jeans like a pork sausage, aren't you? Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It can help me deal with all of that. Pull up. Pull up. You know, I don't have to wait till I'm in a crisis to work the program. I find when I work the program regularly, my pain is lessened. My pain is like, recovery has been good to me. I have been blessed beyond measure. Anything that I could have ever dreamed of, that I thought I would have, should have wanted, I got all my needs are met. And when I talked to my father, he said, you know what? You always say this, all your needs are met. When I get caught up that I want this, I'm in trouble. All my needs are met. I'm able to do this. All my needs are met. If you're new, welcome. Thanks for allowing me to share.
I love you, and I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Please help me welcome our next speaker, Paul.
We cover an act. My name is Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Paul. I really like to thank God. I'm real tired. I usually be asleep by now. And the way to look the faces of you guys, you probably would have been asleep too. You know, I'm real grateful to be here. I want to thank the Capital Area for getting me here, right? This is kind of like going to be real quick. You know, I'm going to get out of here and I'm going to go home, right? I got to ride down the highway and I don't want to be driving into the right line, you know, driving into a ditch nowhere, you know. I want to thank you for sharing. I love you. I love your husband. I want to thank everybody who just like took a little time out just to hang out with me. It never ceased to amaze me, the friends that you acquire in this program. They seem to always have your back, right? I always share, like, you know, when a fighter, right, a fighter is only as good as his corner man. You understand what I'm saying? Because that fighter, when he's in the midst of the fight, he can't see what's coming, right? But if you got a good corner man and you retrieve and go back to the corner, he gonna tell you the things that you miss. So recovery to me is important, to have a good corner man. And I got some good corner men, right? I came into this program, I didn't know who I was. You guys didn't help me with that, right? Because I became the guy that you wanted me to be. And in the end, I accepted who you thought I was. And it was real difficult when I got in here, right, because I didn't know who I was. And everything that I did to try to subside the disease of addiction, when I made that first initial admission, right, that I suffer from a disease from which there is no nor cure, what happened at that point, there became a void inside, right? And I did everything that I possibly thought of to fill that void. And I set the step in the workbook, right? It says insanity is often to believe that we could fix the things on the outside. Food, money, sex, clothes, to fix the things that's going on when it's on the inside. Have you ever been in a position, right, where you'll buy a new outfit, right, and you wear this outfit, and because nobody said that's a new outfit, you don't wear the outfit no more. Right? Why? Because I'm still doing the things to satisfy and to please you. The insides hadn't materialized for me to get with some acceptance of self yet. Right? So the processes I heard my friends talk about it earlier, the demolition process has to begin somewhere. Right? And so what I got to do, I just got to sit back and I got to come to believe that there's a power. It ain't make a difference on what this, it's not important for me to identify what this power is. Second step says all I got to do is believe that there is a power that could help me restore me to sanity and faith. That's all I got to do at that point. I don't got to identify what it is. So I came and I started to believe, and what I believed was you. I believed Hal when he talked about how he came in here and things started happening in his life and he didn't use. I started to believe in my sponsor when he said, no matter what, you don't have to use. I started to believe in you when you talked about the 12 steps are our solution. And I came and I just started doing some of the things that you did. And as a result, I started to believe for myself. Coincidence and miracles started happening in my life. I used to wake up and you know why I wasn't no longer thinking about where the next one is coming from any longer. Sanity to begin. I was thinking about where I'm going to next make my next meeting. Right? Something just started to happen. And I believed in you guys. I'm telling you, I can't. Look, it was a time, right, when I didn't believe in nothing or nobody. Everything that I did for myself. Everything. But the process came, and I started to believe in you. And I just started doing it, and I just kept coming. And I just kept coming. I just kept coming, man. And before you know it, I started to come too. Something just started happening that maybe, just maybe, Hal, what happened for you can happen for me. I started gaining some hope. That's what this program offers, hope. Right? And it wasn't no longer about where I came from and how we could separate ourselves from you and if you're not from where I'm from and all that old bullshit that we do when we get in first coming to this program. Because you didn't hang on board the market downtown north and you wasn't in steel pool room, you couldn't hang out with me. Right? Yo, the disease, I mean, you talked about it. The disease got a primary purpose. It want to separate you so it can find you by yourself so it can do its job. Disease got a job, and its ultimate job is for it to kill you, no, under no certain circumstances. So I had to just keep coming. I had to keep coming. And everything that I tried to fill up with this void, everything, it just wouldn't work. Everything. I come in the process. I look, me and my wife have been married for 26 years.
Congratulations. Yeah. You say that shit, right? Look, it was difficult getting here.
No, right? Look, I'm not letting you. Right there? Look. It was how, wasn't it? But I believe. Because I was coming in here, and I used to look, in the midst of my sevens, people used to say, how come you're always around women? Right? You remember how? How come you? Because I didn't feel like I was worthy of love. All I wanted to do was be accepted. Right? I grew up a little boy, man. Look, they called me TWA. Look, I was so happy when motherfuckers got fades, I didn't know what to do. I couldn't grow an afro, man. Do you know? Look, they call me TWA. I couldn't get fucking waves, man. When hats came out, I was
you laughing, you ain't shit.
You know how I'm saying, it was difficult, man. It was difficult growing up, man. Everything that I seen on the outside of you, right, and everything that you had, I wanted. And I just couldn't get it. It just wasn't in the cards for me. Right? It wasn't until I came here and started accepting myself aware of who and what I am. Right? Real difficult not knowing that stuff. Real difficult to get with some acceptance of self and you don't even know who the hell you are. Real difficult. Or where that stuff manifests itself at on the inside and it comes out on the outside and you still, look, sometimes with clean, I still think that I ain't shit. Still. That I just don't measure up. Look, staying clean just ain't paying the fuck off. And sometimes I want to self-destruct and I want to sabotage everything that God has blessed me with. I talk about the marriage. Let me tell you how self-centered I am, right? I've been diagnosed with cancer, right? I got high hypertension. I've been diagnosed with diabetes. And God took all that away from me, right? And I didn't use. Look, went through the feelings, man. Went do it, not knowing whether or not I was going to come out on the other side. Right? So here I am. I'm working out, right? Look, I successfully lost 20 pounds, right? The doctor told me you got to lose some weight. I lost some weight, right? And look, on the other day, my wife said, you know what? I want you to put me on your diet. Right? I'm so fucking self-centered, right? Look, I didn't hear what she said. I put my thing in, well, you know, if diet alone, you just can't do it. No, right? I told her, you got to exercise, because I'm working hard. I mean, you know it. We in there. We working. And all motherfucking day long, I've been calling her because I wanted her to tell me, look, baby, you look good. I want you to teach me what you've been doing. But she didn't say that. I called her about 5 fucking times. You know what? You really got something to say to me, don't you? She was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I said what I had to say. But again, Anthony, the things I do for myself, I want you to see. I want you the approval of you. Do you understand? Look, because I still don't feel good about myself sometimes. Right? It ain't until I tap in. Listen, Nadira, I got to tap into him. Right? And understand everything that he's done for me. You talked about it. God has been good to me. Listen, look, how you shared it all the time. It ain't the things that I think like he do to me. It's the things that he do for me. Everything that I went through ain't for me. It's for the member that comes behind me to give them some hope that says no matter what, you don't have to use. It ain't for me. So I thank God for choosing me. I thank him for choosing me so I could get closer to him.
How about that?
Right? So now when I walk up, look, I don't got to walk around with my head down any fucking longer. Have you been clean and you still walk around with your head down? Did you ever experience that? Because you're not feeling good about yourself. Because your insides is still screwed up, right? And you ain't tapping into him. And then as a result of you not tapping into him, he can't bless you. God told me, look, you got to participate in this relationship. I can't do the things for you unless you help me. Right? So now I'm here. I'm in the point, right? Listen, let me tell you something. I was the guy that used to sit in the back of class that know the right answer and wouldn't raise my hand. I was the same guy that used to say, look, Look, first, look, 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 little dope fiend story, right? Look, Fuqua, you go in first, and we gonna come in behind you. That's some bullshit. Right, I mean, just that's what y'all used to do to me, right? Look, Fuqua, you go in first. Look, you hold everything down, and once we in, right? This is what they used to tell me. Listen, Vet, once we in and we get everything, you stay there until we get out. And I did it. You understand what I'm talking about? I did it. Why? Because I wanted so desperately to be accepted by you. Now imagine being in that place. Locked in that place. Right? We're talking about a prison. Right? The self-made prison that we create ourselves. Right? Can't get out. And I couldn't fucking get out. Until I got here. And you gave me the tools to get out. And what I did, I just kept working. I kept doing the things that you guys said. Listen, Hal, I'm fucking out. I ain't locked up any longer. I'm not doing the things to please you any longer. Imagine being in that spot and coming to a position where you finally, you're finally all right with you. It's a beautiful place to be. It's a beautiful position to be in. And understand that the blessings that you received didn't become of you. It came from him. I heard Anthony share this morning and this evening, and he was talking about the pressures of coming up here. I understand the pressure that I put on myself is a direct result of my relationship with him because I don't want to fail him. So what I do, Hal, I put, look, I got to fucking breathe. I can't breathe. Paul G, breathe a little bit. Because I put so much pressure on myself because I don't want to fail God. It ain't so much about you any longer. It's really not. I want to please him. So as a result of my quest to please him, and check this out, he already loved me with my fallibilities as a human being. Right? He already loves me with all the things and all the mistakes that I do. Matter of fact, that's the ideal position to be in. Because the moment that I think I got it, I don't have it. So the ideal position of being is learning that I need to rely on him. Zafir, I'm telling you, you know me. Look, I am so fucking happy. I am so happy, man, that God has chose me. I am so happy that I'm in a position to finally look myself in the mirror and say, I love you. You know, them affirmations that we got to tell ourselves, right? And I don't got to go outside of myself any longer for you to accept me. Beautiful position. Beautiful. So I'm telling you, as a result of the 12 steps, listen, I am no longer bogged down by what you talked about where sharing is something that I have to endure any longer. Sharing is not a competitive sport. My man down the hall, right, Uthman, he's sharing, right? And he said, listen, man, we're going to be together in spirit. He said, let's not separate ourselves and versus you against them. We are in the inclusive program, and no matter what God got you doing, you need to accept the position that he got you in and be grateful, and most of all, be happy. So everybody's here who's in here supposed to be here. I used to be so bogged down with sharing for effect instead of sharing for the purpose. Right? Sharing, turning down commitments 9:30 in the morning. Listen to me. Where's that addict, that newer member? 9:30, do you remember when? Early, you had to go get it early in the fucking morning just to stay clean. You had to go. Now you get some clean time, and your clean time, what it promotes is clean, is closed-minded and arrogance, right? Where now you can't share 9:30 in the fucking morning any longer, because ain't nobody going to be there. I'm telling you this through experience. I've been on the convention committee for 8 years now. And with certain cats we ask to share, and they tell us no, because it's not prime time. Right? Where your 12 step at? So I am grateful just to be amongst the living. Let me tell you something, I want to share this, right? And my, look, and Mr. Lee buying a home, right? I went, my sister, and, you know, it's, oh man, I am so happy. Right? And I went to my sister, I said, my sister, daddy offered me his home, and she said, son, thank you, you know, because we counted you out. Right, Jackie? My family counted me out. They didn't think I was going to make it. And the result of you guys, right? And God loving me enough to bless me with his grace, right? To give me his mercy, because everything that I'm getting today, I don't deserve it.
That's right.
Everything. If it was up to me, man, brother, let me tell you something. I'll be in a penitentiary for the rest of my fucking life. And I've been blessed with his mercy.
Yes.
And as a result of his blessings, I became the pillar of my family. Mm-hmm. Mommy and daddy, 84 and 82 years old, respectfully. Mm-hmm. And every week, what I'm doing, I'm over my mother's house, and I'm over my father, and I'm scrubbing his feet. Mm-hmm. Because he can't do it by himself. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the thing, the very thing that I used to think about my father, that he wouldn't love me because of my total self-centeredness, right? And the fantasy that I live, right, that he worked three jobs and he couldn't be at none of my sporting events. And I lived growing up watching the courtship of Eddie's fucking father. And every day fucking little Eddie used to be on Bill Bixby's shoulders. And the things that I wanted from that, I couldn't get it. And I should talk about how daddy didn't love me. Until someone asked me, Paul, will you sacrifice for your kids? And I wasn't there, Hal. And I said, man, yeah, I'll take the bullet. I'll take the bus hit. He said, brother, I'm not talking about that. He said, I'm talking about sacrifice regardless of, look, putting down the things that you want and need for your children. And I was able to reflect back on daddy and how he worked three jobs. Often went without buying the clothes or a coat for him in order for his siblings to have it. And I was able to reflect, and I was able to say, the man that I want to be is just like him. So everything came full circle, and now he's my hero. So when he called and he said, son, I need you, I'm there. And I got to be careful, right? Because my ninth step says that I could be so bogged down with feelings that I would do things knowing that I can't get it done. And as a result of my quest of getting it, want to get it so right this time, I caused more harm. So what I got to do, I got to live in seven, and I got to understand, and I got to accept my boundaries and my limitations. Because some things, I just think I could do every fucking thing. And I just can't. That inside thing, right, it's that thing, it's that place that I'm most vulnerable at. When I think I need to show up for everybody, and in the midst of me trying to show up for everybody, I'm losing me. I'm learning that. Because every time I make a promise and I go back the next day They say, well, son, where was you yesterday? Right? So I got to understand that. So I'm just here. I'm happy. I'm clean. You know what I mean? I'm getting ready to have another grandbaby. That'll be 5. Damn. That's fucked up. You know, but you know what? I won't trade nothing in for the boy. After you talked about it, I want to thank you. I want to thank you. You know, thank you, really, really. And most of all, I want to thank God. Right? Because I know without him, none of this would be possible, man. Right? And if I can, for just one moment, I want to thank our predecessors.
Yes, indeed. Yes, 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 yes.
The people who paved the way for me. Who shared their experience, strength, and hope. And when I was diagnosed with cancer, you said I didn't have to fucking use her. And I believed you. And as a result of your faith in me, I didn't use. And now I could come in here and I could be a pillar, the same pillar that you are, that same beacon of light that you are, right? And I could tell the member who's going through it that no matter what, you don't have to use. That's our message. That any addict, right? Can you lose the desire to use and find a new way of life? I found that new way of life through you guys, and I'm just so happy that God has given me the opportunity, a day at a time, to live it. Thank you for letting me share it.